Project House on Lunchtime Live. Lunchtime Live.
Now, Project House is our 10-step guide to helping you, our listeners, to get a home. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at saving for the deposit, going through the mortgage drawdown, buying the house, or viewing the house, I should say, bidding on the house. And now today, we are buying the property. Everything you need to know until you turn the key in that front door. Gina Mullen is a solicitor at P. O'Connor & Son in Swinford and is with us here on Lunchtime Live. 53106 is the number if you have any questions for Gina today. It's all a bit of a minefield, Gina. Just tell us, when do you recommend as a solicitor that we should first engage with you when we find the property?
It's probably best to engage with the solicitor when you've started the viewing process, but definitely once the offer has been accepted.
And what exactly does that entail? Should we shop around?
Yeah, well, in a lot of cases, people will shop around just to get general information, and they will be looking for quotes, and then they just make the decision on their experience with the solicitors that they've engaged with.
Actually, that's a good point, Gina, because I mean, I noticed that myself. There's often a disparity between the, you know, the fees that you can be quoted for conveyancing. Is there a guide that you can go off through the Law Society, or how does that work?
Well, the Law Society would have certain guidance, but it all depends on kind of the nature of the transaction, the complexity of it, the amount of time that will be involved, and also the experience of the solicitor that's going to be dealing with the transaction.
So if you're buying something and there's a bit of hassle over it, or maybe there's, you know, gated community or access issues or something like that, you may potentially be paying a bit more because...
You may potentially, yeah. Now, usually in conveyancing, it's going to be a fixed cost unless then there's any kind of issue that comes to light during the course of the transaction. But the purchaser is going to be notified of that because the solicitor is going to be going through it step by step with them and advising them through the process. And they'd be alerting them to any issues that would come to light following a review of the title, planning documents, all that.
Okay, so should on a starting point, should you get a quote from the solicitor in the initial stage?
You would be getting a quote,
Okay. We find our house, we've gone sale agreed, we've engaged with our solicitor, we've got our quote. What are the next things we need, Gina?
So once you've gone sale agreed, the auctioneer is going to look for a booking deposit. And then they issue what's known as a sales advice note. So that's kind of the terms of the sale. The next step then is the purchaser usually has got their loan approval in principle. They need to be engaging then straight away with their mortgage advisor or their mortgage broker to get their formal letter of loan approval.
And once they've got that?
Once they've got that, then the next step is the solicitor that they have engaged will receive the contract, the title, all the planning documents from the seller solicitor, and then they're going to review all that documentation. They'll be writing out to their client advising them of all of the special conditions of the contract, the title, and at that point then they would be getting their survey done. So they'd be engaging a surveyor to carry out a survey on the property, which is very important.
Do you have to get this engineer's, the structural survey carried out?
I would always advise that you would get the survey carried out, because there's a number of aspects that the surveyor will advise you on. So from a legal point of view, you can only advise on the documentation you have. So you'd be presented with a map, for example, showing you that these are the boundaries of the property, but you need your surveyor to go out onto the ground and measure those boundaries and make sure that there's no discrepancies, so that your legal boundary represents the physical boundary that's fenced on the ground. They're also going to check the structure of the property and make sure that there's no structural issues. They would do a planning search as well, make sure that there's no enforcement or notices affecting the property. In a lot of cases, there may have been works carried out to the property, extensions or alterations. You need to be satisfied that there's no planning implications in relation to those works.
Because that can often come as a surprise to people. You've paid your booking deposit, you get this survey done, and next thing you're told, hang on, the previous owner actually built a garage out the back and they haven't the right planning for it, and next thing you've to start looking for retention orders or knock the thing.
Yeah, exactly. So the whole point of the survey is that you have to go in there with your eyes open and that you're alerted to any defects or issues that are there, so that at least, can we find a solution to it? Is there a remedy to it? And also, when you're getting a loan, we need to know, is there anything that has to be qualified for the bank to sign off on in terms of title or structure or planning?
Okay. I have a text in here from a listener, Gina, on 53106, who just asks, you know, what happens if the engineer finds significant problems in the house that you've just gone, say, and agreed on? Can I get the money back now that I want to pull out?
Yeah, so that's the whole reason to get the survey done before you sign a contract. And the reason for that is that if any issue comes to light, then your solicitor is going to liaise with the seller's solicitor and highlight the issue. And first of all, see, is there a solution? Is there a retention permission needed, or are the works exempt? And up to that point, you haven't committed to signing the contract. So your deposit that you've paid, your booking deposit, is fully refundable. It's only once the purchaser has signed the contract and is exchanged that the deposit is non-refundable.
There's another text in here as well, Gina. This listener says, myself and my husband are in the final stages of purchasing a house. It's in a gated courtyard with two other houses and there's one shared gate entrance. The house that we're purchasing, one of the rooms is above the archway that serves as the entrance to the gated courtyard. We were ready to go, sale agreed, but then it was noted that the footprint on our house didn't exactly match the land registry because the room over the archway isn't put in as part of the property. We've asked the seller, but the seller is a bank. We're afraid that they'll just see this as hassle and pull out. We've put in a lot of time to getting it to this stage. Do we have any legal right now to make them do it, or can they just pull out?
That issue can arise. It's not very common. And what it's referred to as, where there is a room that is over an archway, it's known as what's termed a flying freehold. So you do have title to it, but it doesn't all necessarily show on a map because it's difficult for the land registry to find where it is. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the title is defective. So it would be a case that I would suggest that they would just speak to their solicitor more on it and see if they can find a bit more information on it. But there is such a term known as a flying freehold, which specifically deals with a situation such as that where you have like a laneway or an archway and a room above it.
Okay. 53106, if you have a question here for Gina today. This listener, Neil, says, great information. If I change my mind after paying the booking deposit, or if my mortgage doesn't come through, can I pull out? I suppose that's a common one, Gina, you know, particularly over the last couple of months and the COVID pandemic and changes to salaries and all of that.
Yeah, and changing in circumstances, and also requirements of the bank now are known as COVID declarations that you have to send in at various stages, and you have to present your payslips and that. So there's a lot more paperwork involved. So again, up until the point you sign the contract, you can walk away from the transaction. Your booking deposit is fully refundable. Where you're buying and you're obtaining a mortgage, your solicitor will always insist that the contract that you sign is strictly subject to you drawing down your loan funds. So that even if you've committed to buying the property and for whatever reason the bank say we can no longer give you the funds, you can rescind the contract and your booking deposit and your 10% deposit you paid on the contract, they're refundable. But that condition has to be in there, and it's a protection to a purchaser.
Is that standard, Gina, that would be
it
included?
There's an all society standard condition in that regard, because otherwise it's too much of a risk for a purchaser to enter into a contract where they're getting a loan, because that loan, they're dependent on that loan to buy the property. And then if for whatever reason, due to change in circumstances, they can no longer get the loan, well, then they don't have the money to buy the property. So it's a get-out clause for a purchaser and a protection.
Taking us through just the final step of this, I'll just come back to more messages there in 53106, Gina, in a moment. But once we're, you know, you're satisfied with the contract, everything's in order, we're ready to sign on the dotted line and submit it to the seller's solicitor. Is that it then?
So you've signed the contract, contracts are exchanged, the closing date would be agreed at that point, and then it's just a case of where your solicitor then, usually about a week before the closing date, they draw down your loan funds from the bank, and usually there will be a balance that the purchaser then has to transfer to their solicitor. And then it's the closing date, the solicitor receives then all the original title and closing documents and transfer the funds to the seller's solicitor. You do your closing searches then, so that's land registry, bankruptcy searches, judgment searches, and the transaction completes.
Okay. The property tax and stamp duty and all of that, you look after that?
Yeah, so when you get the quote from the solicitor, there'll be their professional fee, and they'll also have the breakdown of what your stamp duty is, your land registry fee, the registry deed, depending on the title, your search fees. That'll be all incorporated into your quotation.
Because there's a couple of thousand involved in all of that, Gina, by the time you get,
By the time you have considered your stamp duty, has got to be 1%, unless the price you're paying is over $1 million, then it's slightly different. But if 1% up to $1 million, you've your land registry fees involved in, which can be in around 1,000, maybe more, and search fees.
A text in here from a listener wondering about the surveyor check and whether they look at the BER rating.
They will look at it, but they don't generally comment on it.
Can you ask them to?
You could ask them to, but usually, as I suppose, the BER itself will tell you kind of what the rating is, and you'll know, if it's A, it's a good rating, and then as you go lower down the scale. So the advisory reports as well will kind of set out where maybe the property isn't as energy effective as other areas. So usually the BER and the advisory report that accompanies gives you all the information.
Okay. Gina, it can be a lengthy process, and I know even myself from going through it recently that it's there's an awful lot of those costs certainly I didn't know existed before entering into all of this, in terms of not the solicitor fees, but the land registry fees and all of that kind of stuff. So if there's one thing, I'd say it's worth finding that out in advance.
Oh, definitely. As you said there, when you're getting the quotation, get a detailed quotation so you'll know what your stamp duty is, that you know what your land registry fees are and all the search fees, so that you know what your final figure is going to be.
Yeah. And you see, often as well, you have to take that out of the budget, so it might reduce the amount of bidding money you have as well when you're going through the process. We'll have to leave it there for the moment. Gina Mullen, solicitor at P. O'Connor and Son. Thanks, Gina, for joining us here on the programme today. For the next